talking about chicken a la king,
mango and garbanzo tabbouleh,
grilled potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil,
zucchini ziti,
granola fruit bar.
Look at all this beautiful food.
Hello, I'm Dan Adute, and welcome to Green Eggs and Dan. This episode was recorded during lockdown. No fancy studio, just me and my laptop.
Okay.
Hoping my guest knows more about technology than I do.
Okay.
Okay, we'll take care of it.
Like the rest of the world, we're getting on Zoom and each trying our best to record the podcast ourselves. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. My guest today is literally my favorite comedian to watch live. Jessica Kirsten is not just a stand-up comic. She is a force of nature. Her new comedy special, Talking to Myself, is so much fun. It's such a fun, wild ride. You can watch it on Comedy Central. And she's the host of her own hilarious podcast, Relatively Sane. Jessica, welcome to Green Eggs and Dan.
I love the name, and I thank you so much for your compliments. That's very sweet what you just said.
Are you? I mean every word of it, even though you emailed me that to read.
What's your Venmo again?
I'm so happy to have you on the show. Number one, again, because you're my favorite comedian to see live. But number two, because food plays such a prominent role in your comedy.
Yes, in my life, always.
In your life, yes. Always. So yeah. Before we get to why that is and all that, we're going to get into your fridge. You can see Jessica's fridge on my Instagram, at StandUpDan. Okay, Jessica, this is a fantastic fridge.
Yes, it's this is a great fridge because of the pandemic also. This is an anxious Jewish, we need to have enough food to have for the next couple of months fridge.
I mean, it's amazing. This is probably the best pandemic fridge we've had so far because everyone's good. Got a pandemic fridge right now. Yes, so congratulations.
Thank you. Oh, no, the sex toy is in one of the drawers.
Right there?
Yeah.
Yeah, the yellow zucchini sex toy. Oh, my God. All right. So let's get into it. You obviously have a kid, is what I'm assuming this Nesquik over the strawberry Nesquik is for.
Yes. That's what
that
I have. Well, I have four daughters.
Yeah.
But only three live with me. That's my 4.5-year-old. One of them lives with my ex. That was sounded really weird. Can you imagine? She just lives outside. That's for my 4.5-year-old, Isabella. It's disgusting.
Nesquik? Strawberry Nesquik?
Yeah.
And then the whipped cream, is that for her or for you?
Yes. No, I'm so pat. Dan, do you think I even have sex anymore? I mean, I'm so beaten down emotionally. Plus, I'm medicated, so I can't even feel anything. It's a mess. That's for her. She loves whipped cream.
I mean, and then this is all, what is this stuff? Is this formula? I don't have kids. I don't know these things.
So those are monkey drinks. Yeah, no, they're not formula. Those are for her also. Those are yogurt drinks.
Okay, those are yogurt drinks. Mm-hmm. You have a ton of takeout here. Is that all takeout in the middle?
Yeah, that must be from like a pizzeria or a Greek place. It's either one.
Okay, got it. So you guys are you doing a 50-50 takeout and cooking during quarantine?
More cooking. Once a week takeout.
I got to say, I do like your bougie maple syrup over here in the second row.
That's from probably, and you're going to love this, when I was doing a gig in like Maine or Vermont and got some fancy syrup.
I feel like every comic gets a maple syrup. Yeah. When we're in like...
That's why I said you're going to live.
It's like our New England treat.
Yeah. Like I was in New England because I got syrup. It's so ridiculous.
What is your, when you're on the road, wait, let's get to the dressing drawer. You've got more salad dressing than I've ever seen in a drawer.
Yeah. There's salad dressing. Well, that's very Jewish. Most Jewish people have a lot of salad. There's three kinds of Italian. There's two ranches. There's like a yogurt when I'm trying to watch myself. There's that baby ketchup is from a road gig too.
I like that.
I have to take everything home with me.
There's a baby ketchup on the right side, and then there's a mama ketchup on the left side.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you, so like if you're staying at a hotel and they give you like a little ketchup and a little mustard, you take those?
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. If my wife didn't judge me, I would take home every single thing that wasn't nailed down that's free when I'm in a hotel. And that's not, I'm not saying, that's literally what I would do. But I come home with stuff and then she's like, why are you bringing home mini ketchup bottles? I'm like, because they're adorable and it's free.
Yeah. I'll bring the shower caps. I'll bring everything. Yeah.
Me too. I bring like shoe shine kits. Never shine shoe. Yeah.
So when you're on the road, what is your food regimen normally? Are you seeking out a cool restaurant? Are you just ordering
Never.
And you don't care as much? No?
Never seeking out a cool restaurant. Barely
really?
getting by. That's really honestly true.
Why?
I normally I don't eat carbs, so I don't eat bread or you know, pasta or stuff like that. So I always, if I have a fridge, which is great, I will go to Whole Foods or a market and get stuff. Because I eat better when I have stuff in the room with me, in a fridge.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And I basically eat the same kind of things. But when I'm like, sometimes people will take me out to dinner, but I'm not the kind of person that would like go to a restaurant by myself.
Really?
I'm normally by myself, yeah.
Oh, that's like the only reason why I ever wanted a tour as a comic was so that I could just try restaurants in different cities.
I love that. I mean, that means you're more emotionally okay than I am.
Why do you say that?
If you're the kind of person that can like go to restaurants by yourself and you want to treat yourself and find a nice meal, it's self-care. It's kind of self-care if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, there is an addictive personality part of it too, where I'm like, I think I put so much pressure on, if I don't get the best meal that I can find in this town, then I've failed.
That's so interesting. I get it and I love that, but I'm not like that.
So no carbs for you. What was that?
I mean, I do eat carbs. I go, like, today's the second day. I started eating potato chips and I don't eat white flour, and I really try not to eat sugar. And I don't eat fried foods. I mean, there's things I've given up because I don't want to gain back all the weight I lost. But I'm struggling at home now and struggle. You know, it's hard.
I bet. How much did you lose?
I lost 100 pounds.
Jeez.
A little over 100 pounds. And like in this pandemic, I've gained back 8 pounds, which a lot of people go, who cares? To me, it's a big deal. Like that's a big deal. And I have to do something now or else I will spin out of control.
Interesting. So do you, well, yeah, because now you're in a house that's just like full of food and you can't leave.
Right.
I mean, that must be.
Yeah, and I'm not an exerciser. It's really, I know some people love it. I have to start doing it because, I mean, honestly, for emotional reasons, I feel like I'll feel so much better if I start exercising.
You've got to be one of those people. I feel like everyone's posting their like them doing yoga in fast forward videos. you've got to be one of those people, Jessica.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I should just go into a pose and post it, but I'm only doing that pose, but people think I'm doing it, and I could just put water all over my face and make it look like I'm doing a lot.
What was that bit? For some reason, when you said I'm trying not to eat carbs, I feel like there was an Atkins bit that you did a while ago about.
I did.
Like, yes. What was it again? It was like,
I said, I would eat no crackers, no muffins, no cake. I'd eat 16 chickens, a dozen eggs, and a lamb. Because I ate so much protein. I mean, it's still addiction. It's still too much overeating. You know, it's like, it's the amount.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, do you have a guilty pleasure that you go to, or you're not allowed to?
I mean, even like I love cheese and I eat it every day. It's not okay. Like I tell myself, it's protein. It's not crackers. It's not, you know, it's not pasta, but it's not okay to eat a ton of cheese.
I mean, what kind of cheese are you eating?
I love cheese. I mean, I love feta, which isn't that bad, but I love every kind. I love cheddar. The only thing I don't like is blue cheese.
Are you like an artisanal cheese person, or do you just go for like one in the red wax thing?
I like those too. but I love good cheese.
So, okay. So you're not really, When there's no pandemic, how often are you eating out?
More. I mean, I would say that we order in more. Like, we don't go out to eat a lot because we have young kids, but I would say we order in like 2 or 3 times a week.
Are your kids picky eaters?
One of them. So I have a 4.5-year-old and twin 11-month-olds.
Oh my God.
I know. And oh, one of them is a big eater. She's really cute. That's Madison. Madison and Charlotte are my twins. And Madison grabs hunks of food and just puts it in her. It's really cute. You can tell she just loves food. And they eat meatballs, they eat steak, they eat like little tiny pieces of steak, chicken, fish. I mean, they're good eaters.
Yeah. When you're on the road, I don't know if you deal with this as much, because in colleges I feel like I dealt with this a ton, where they're like, come go eat with the students, and like, you just want to die inside as you're at like the local Chili's in Peoria.
See, I always think you're okay, and like, you're like, oh sure, let's go to Applebee's. You're not. It's as if you're lighting a fire to the bottom of my feet when I have to go to those dinners. I don't like small talk, so I love talking to people I know and I care, but like small talk. So how'd you get into the business? Like,
oh,
that
my God.
Kills my soul. It kills me.
I used to be very good at putting on a face when people would
you
ask
were
me those
good.
Questions. Now I'm just like, I can't. I will literally like do like shut down, shut the computer down.
It's so funny because I know you as someone who's really good in those conversations.
I'm not anymore.
Yeah.
That's what happens. I used to do the craziest shit on the road. I would go to dinner with the students. I would get all their birthdays. I'd write down their birthdays and I'd send them an email on their birthdays. Like, I had this
Are
like,
you
program.
Are you kidding me?
It was the dumb. Now I'm like, I like snatch the check out of their hands and I'm like, get out. I just close the door on their face.
Well, you know, we all have patience for a while. And then I started thinking, what am I getting out of this? I'm not getting more work.
Right.
So I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
They also think they can say anything to us. I mean, you know that. You'll be sitting at Applebee's with them and they're like, yeah, you are pretty fat. I'm like, what? You're not allowed to say that. I am. It's like, of course you can't find a girlfriend. I mean, look at you. Like, they'll just say things. It's so
you're like,
inappropriate in
you're
any
like,
other.
That was my act. You're not allowed to. This is not a Q&A.
That's what my father said. You're not allowed to say it.
Oh my God. What's more annoying? Well, I don't want you to call them out, but I know that you do a lot of Jewish Federation shows and shows for the Jews. The Jews can be especially, and this is as someone who does a lot of those shows as well, but they're a special kind of annoying, I feel like.
They
the
are.
Shows.
If there was an award for who the most annoying person is or group of people to, now they're amazing. Audiences a lot of the time.
Yes.
But getting to that show is a disaster. I've never seen anything like it. Like, I was just asked to do something for the UJA, and the amount, and it's not a lot of money. Like, I agreed to do something for, believe me, you would understand. Not a lot of money for what I should be making if it were in person, blah, blah, blah. But right. I'm like, you know what? Let me help them laugh, raise money. The amount of emails and questions and requests and demands. It's like, at some point I'm just like, I'm not doing it. If there's one more request, I'm not doing it, because it's insane.
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Can you sign our Torahs? We're gonna
Do you mind learning a whole nother bar mitzvah so we can have you do the bar mitzvah in front of the whole congregation with a mask on? And
so
there used to be, I feel like the point where I couldn't take it anymore, especially or for the colleges, was when it just felt like someone was calling me and saying, hey, there's a bag of money in Richmond, Virginia. Do you want to go fly there and just pick the bag up and then come back? That's what the shows felt like.
Me too.
And I was like, all
that
right.
That started getting depressing for me, to be honest. I was at that point when this started happening. So people keep saying, do you mind doing stand-up? And I'm like, I mean, am I not doing it? Sorry. And I'm like, I miss it, but I don't miss all the stuff around it. Yeah. It's exhausting.
It is exhausting. I'm finally at peace with the fact that I'm not passed at the Comedy Store. I'm like, it's okay. Now no one's passed at the Comedy Store.
That's hysterical. I've laughed about the Comedy Store where it's like, give a hand to Wanda Sykes, the newest member of the, like, it's like, she's famous. Like, not that they did that with Wanda, but I laugh when it's someone really famous.
Right.
Who just got passed.
Yeah, when you get passed to the Comedy Store, they send, like, an email out, or they put a blast on Twitter. They're like, hey, everyone, congratulations.
Bob Hope got passed.
He's posthumously passed at the Comedy Store. So it's funny, I just flew from New York to LA, I was telling you. And I was lucky enough to be first class. And there was no food served on the plane. No food on the plane.
Because of the pandemic. No snacks?
They did do the snack boxes, but I wasn't taking my mask off. I went full mask and goggles. I was wearing ski goggles.
That's what my cousin wears. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very weird experience to not be able to eat on a flight, though. It's one of my favorite things to do.
I know. That is weird. I mean, I haven't flown, and I have to tell you, I would be very afraid to fly right now. So when you told me it was scary or it was stressful, I was thinking, my God. I mean, even the thought of it makes me, being in the airport makes me uncomfortable. Not even so much as I'm going to catch it. I mean, that's part of it, but also just, I don't know why. It just seems like so foreign to me now.
It's weird. I mean, and I was like in complete isolation at my parents' house. So it was the first time that I was interacting with humans, and there was a lot of them, and it was, woof, it weirded
That's
me out.
So hard. Was it a packed flight?
No. Thankfully, it was like probably half full, I'd say. See? Mm-hmm. See how optimistic I am? It was half full. But again, like I told you, the people in first class weren't really wearing their masks, which was ridiculous. But
yeah, because a lot of people, I was telling you before this, is that they're entitled. I don't have to wear a mask, and a lot of people are in denial. A lot of people are too macho into this and to that. It's a lot about, you know, if I wear a mask, I think people think I'm gay. I don't know what they're thinking, but it really is how some men are that I know.
Yes.
And
which, by the way, it's not wearing a mask is the least effort you could put into trying to look macho. Like, it's the dumbest.
It's so dumb.
Dumbest way to prove your manhood or whatever you want to call it.
Well, it's also defiant.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these people don't want to be told what to do. So this is their way of, even if it risks people's lives, they don't care. They don't want to be told what to do.
It's such a dumb defiance, though. Because it's like,
you're
not like Rosa Parks. You're not,
think they are, Dan.
Yeah.
They do.
It's unbelievable.
They think they're Rosa Parks.
They don't know
who that is, but if they knew who it was.
Yeah. Maybe
they
would
compare themselves to her.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But, well, this is, I don't know what's going to happen. I just know what side I'm on. And if there's a war, I don't know. It's so divided.
Are you going to get out of New York?
No, like this is where, because I live on Long Island, so I am in the...
Oh, okay, so you're, where in Long Island?
Suburbs. West Hempstead. So,
okay, got it.
We had just bought a house right before this happened, so of course the second it happened, I had a nervous break. I mean, not literal, but I really thought I was going to end up having to move in with my family, and because we just put all our money into a house.
Yeah.
And all my gigs were canceled, and I'm making it work, but it was very scary.
Oh my God,
at first, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the timing for you is super non-ideal because your special just came out, which is amazing.
I know. Thank you.
That's usually how it goes, though, is your special comes out and then you tour around.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what was happening. So when people say to me, you're putting up so much content online, I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I have children. Like, this is the difference between people who have children and people who don't. I don't have a choice. This is not just about me. I'm the breadwinner. So I have to be working. I have to create content. I have to do whatever I can.
Although she is here because she wants to be here.
No. I really, no, I'm joking. I would do anything with you. I've always loved you, and you're such a good person.
Well, I love you, too, and you're probably the nicest person in comedy. You have the, okay, if there was a graph of, like, there's nicest person and how funny you are, and usually, you know, you have a lot of the very unfunny people who are super nice, or a lot of the very funny people who are not very nice. You are whatever that Venn diagram, you're like a
circle.
Thank you. They're both coming together.
Thank you. That's very sweet. I mean, I really do work on that. I do because I don't. I keep saying, I keep writing out tweets and then deleting them. Like, I want to go off on comics right now.
Really?
Certain people. Oh my God. Certain people are making me crazy. But I delete them. Like, I try to keep good relationships, not get into arguments, but it's very hard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it's time to take the mask off. Take the veneer of nice Jessica.
I post general stuff. Like, when you go on my Twitter, you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about now. I post general statements. It's very hard for me when there's people who are very entitled.
Yeah.
That's what's hard with the shows for wealthy people sometimes. It's like a lot of people are ungrateful and entitled, and it's I hate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're gonna pivot back into food.
Sure.
I have a bunch of questions that I ask every guest at the end or towards the end of the show. So, what is your earliest food memory?
I don't know. I guess it would be like I would fend for myself a lot in my home because my mother was working. She was a therapist. My dad was out working. So a lot of times I would just go in I just picture myself standing in front of my fridge as a young kid and just finding stuff to eat because I was home alone a lot. So that's what I remember.
That is the saddest earliest food memory we've had on the show.
I know. Yeah,
that is.
I know. It's why I'm a comedian. It's why I'm funny. It's very, I was in a gorgeous house, so.
It was a very nice fridge. It was a good Kenmore.
Mm-hmm. But that's true. That's my memory as a child.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What is your death row meal? Like you're on death row. You're going to die. You got one last meal. What's it going to be?
I love baked ziti.
Ooh.
Love meatball. Like I love that whole Italian, even like pizza, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Love it. And
are you hearing that beep? Is that beep?
Yes.
Is that?
Hold on. Do you mind? I'm sorry. It's
no,
going
not
on
at
in
all.
The house. Hold on.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
It's okay. Is everything all right?
A fire alarm. Yeah. It was they're fixing some stuff.
Oh, okay. No problem. Are you do you make baked ziti yourself?
I have. Yeah. I'm a pretty good cook. I don't love doing it all the time. Like I'm not patient enough, but I do. I made baked ziti. And the other thing would possibly be, you're going to laugh, but Jewish food, like a big sandwich on rye with turkey and Swiss. And I love that.
I mean, why would that make me laugh? That is, I think like a pastrami on rye that I could go down swinging with that. That could be my last meal.
Me too.
Yeah, there's nothing like the corner piece of a baked ziti that, like, you get the crunch, the crunch,
yes,
on the edge. Come on.
With the cheese?
With the cheese. Okay, what is the best high-end meal that you've ever had? Like a crazy high-end tasting menu-y upscale restaurant, anything like that?
Probably when I've gone to, like, family, you know, event, like, where... Sometimes my stepbrother, who has money, will take us out to like some fancy schmancy restaurant that I would never normally go to or pay for.
Okay. Do you remember one in particular?
I'm trying to think of names of places, but usually like a steakhouse.
Yeah.
Like a sick, amazing steakhouse.
Oof, nothing better.
Where I've tried. I know. That's another thing I would go down with too.
Yeah. I think I'd go down with a ribeye.
You would?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Ribeye, big steak, cream spinach.
Oh, baked potato, cream spinach. Yeah, all that stuff. I love it. I'm so hungry right now.
Have you ever had like a worst high-end experience? Like you're at like a high-end restaurant and it's just not hitting the mark.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's like so fancy and the food isn't even good, but it's just, and then you get like a tiny little, like something on a spoon. I'm like, are you kidding me? I need at least 10 ladles of this. Like, I don't want a little teaspoon with food on it. Not interested.
That would be hilarious if it came out in 10 ladles.
like a shovel.
A shovel of like table. Of like pea soup.
Yeah.
What is there a best like low end meal that you like a street taco-y type thing that you can remember?
Yeah, like I love food trucks. I mean, there's food trucks in the city where I would go, and it's cheap, and you just get an amazing meal. I like low end stuff. Like I like little sandwich shops, or
yeah,
I love. I mean, not that this is low, but I love salad places. I love salad. I'm lucky because I really do. Yeah.
Like the chopped salad places.
Yeah. Those are heaven to me.
I feel like I always overdo it. I always overdo it.
Me too, but who cares? I do too, but.
Like 70 toppings that I put on and nothing really works at the end, but it's like, I'm just like, it's like a trough of lettuce and corn and.
You're right. It's all confusing, but yeah. I like it because it's chaotic and I love the, there's someone banging upstairs now. This is what it is working at home.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
It's insane. Yeah. You're going to laugh. So the alarm just went off, and now they're trying to, they're looking for, we have squirrels in our attic. This, ever since we moved in, it's like a farm here. Like we moved in, we had ants. I'm like, we have babies, so there's ants. Then you're going to laugh. This is totally true. It sounds like I'm making it up. But my wife opened the screen door to the kitchen, and a gecko flew in our house. A lizard.
What?
I'm on Long Island.
What?
Yep, a lizard. Hold on. What is going on? So now they're trying to get squirrels out of the attic. You can't make this shit up.
So now you're having people. I feel like, you know, when I was at my parents' house, they had termites, and I had to like take care of a termite situation. And I hated having the people over, like the termite people.
It's horrible. I mean, they're right above me right now. I hear them walking around because there's a family of squirrels. And they were like, oh, we charge more if you want them to be killed. I'm like, I'm not killing baby squirrels. Like, I picture them running around, like, passing a ball to each other. Like, I feel like they're, like, my babies downstairs. So
wait,
now they're trying to,
they're
trapping
more?
Them.
They charge you more to kill them or to trap them?
Yes, that's the truth. They charge you more to kill them.
I feel like it should be
so
the other way around.
So now they're trapping them, but they're not being hurt. They're just being trapped, and then they'll be taken out and alive and... it's crazy.
Shouldn't it be the other way around? Shouldn't it be more expensive to trap them? I feel like that takes a lot more effort.
I know. I think because it's harder for them, maybe emotionally. Maybe they have to pay for therapy if they try to kill the squirrels. But that is what's happening. They're putting up traps. I don't even think the squirrels are here right now. I think they're out to lunch or at CVS. But they're up there putting traps in the attic.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite drunk food? Are you a drinker?
No, I was a drinker. I don't love alcohol, but I would drink to get wasted. And I loved to eat when I was wasted.
What was
and it was
go-to?
Always pizza. It was
really?
Pizza or tacos or burritos. Yeah, something very heavy, cheesy, saucy. Yeah.
Do you have a go-to pizza place in New York?
No, not in New York specifically. But I think New York has the best pizza by far than anywhere in the world. I mean, I've tried pizza in a lot of places.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite place to get pizza in New York?
In New York? I think I like that Joe's Pizza on Carmine.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Yeah.
That place
I was
going to
say Joe's because that was one of the best pizza I have. I mean.
You can't steal mine. You cannot copy mine.
It's Jersey where I grew up. It's in South Orange, New Jersey. It's called Reservoir. It's the best pizza I've ever had.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Thin crust. Very little sauce, a lot of cheese.
What was the place that was like in between the Boston Comedy Club and the Comedy Cellar? Was it like Ben's Pizza, the one on the corner there?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
yeah, that's still there.
I've had a lot of drunken slices there.
A lot of people. That's packed. Well, it was.
Oh, poor Ben.
I know. It's okay. It's rat infested.
It's rat infested, yeah.
I'm joking.
It's okay. They'll put traps up. They'll let the families out.
Yeah. These people are going to Joe's right after they leave here.
What is did you have a favorite hangover food when you were hungover?
That was, I think, I loved having a big breakfast. when I was hungover. Eggs, bacon, toast, potatoes, pancake, everything. Mm. I loved that.
Yeah.
I still do. Breakfast is definitely one of my favorite things still.
Really?
Big breakfast, yeah.
I don't know why. The older I've gotten, the less breakfasty I've gotten.
Some people say that, yeah.
I don't know if it's an age thing or what. Like, I just want a coffee and a piece of fruit.
Well, I don't eat breakfast like I used to because it makes me too tired. But when I was younger, it didn't matter. But, you know, I used to eat a ton of and then be able to function during the day. But yeah. Now, yeah.
Do you have a favorite celebrity food personality? Like either a chef or like a Anthony Bourdain type?
I love people on the Food Network. I like a lot of their personalities. I'm friends with Alex Guarnicelli, and I love her. She's hysterical.
Oh, no way. That's yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
She's great. And I really like a lot of them. I mean, I like Bobby Flay. I watch all those shows.
Do you really?
Yeah, because they're mindless. So yes. I love Chopped. I mean, that I can just sit and watch for hours.
Yeah, if I'm on a plane, I'm usually watching Beat Bobby Flay, and I will watch, I will binge the fuck out of it. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
I did watch a Chopped last week that seems a little bit racist. It was like a Cinco de Mayo.
Really?
It was like a month ago. It was like a Cinco de Mayo Chopped. And they were like, all right, guys, your secret ingredient is a piñata. And they gave them like an empty piñata that they had to fill up with something. I was like, this.
Can you imagine at the end, they're like, now you have to leave the country.
Yeah, the loser gets deported.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. What is your desert island food? Like you're trapped on a desert island. You have to eat the same thing forever and never get tired of it. I'm assuming it's cheese.
I think it would be cheese.
Cheese
or
on
bread.
The island?
It would probably be bread. I would never get sick of bread. Yeah.
What kind of any specific bread or just any
I
bread?
I love bagels. I like a lot of bread. I like any rye, pumpernickel even.
Wow, you're so chewy with your bread.
I know.
Your bread tastes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like lox bread. I like I do love bread.
What don't you love? Is there a food that you can't stand eating?
I don't love salmon. I don't like grilled salmon. I know.
Oh,
I
like
hate
cooked
that
salmon.
I don't like salmon. Yeah.
Interesting. But lox?
Yeah. I mean, I don't eat it a lot anymore, but I do like lox. But I just don't. I wish I liked salmon because it's so healthy, but it's so fishy to me.
Interesting.
And I don't do clams or oysters or mussels or any of that stuff.
No shellfish?
Shrimp and lobster.
Shrimp and
but
lobster.
It has to be like clean with no like line. I can't see things in my food, my meat and fish.
Interesting.
Or eggs.
So you
I get
can't...
so grossed out. Yeah.
So you can't do like fish with a head on it, like that type of thing?
No.
You're grossed out?
No. Yeah, but also like if I see a vein in chicken or something, I'm done.
Really?
Yeah, I won't take another bite. I get
Come
very
on.
Grossed out. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And Jessica, we need to
And
get
that's
you
gotten
out of that.
Worse over time. Like I don't know why I've gotten more, but I don't eat red meat.
Yeah.
So I stopped eating red meat, so even when I go to a steakhouse, I get a piece of fish or chicken or something like that. I think eventually, if I ever have a shitload of money, I'll be a vegetarian. I know it's such an excuse, but I'd have to have like a lot of options.
Yeah, that's the thing with vegetarian. It gets boring very quickly. Unless you eat like Indian. I feel like Indian food is constantly exciting.
That I love.
And vegetarian.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, you need to be very rich to keep that variety. Like,
you do.
Those lentils don't come cheap.
And you have to cook a lot.
And you've got to cook
and
a
I just
lot.
Don't have the energy. Yeah.
This is my favorite question. What is your restaurant pet peeve?
Like you're going to laugh because I'm loud when I'm on stage, but I can't stand when people are incredibly loud in a restaurant when I'm trying to eat.
Really?
And they're screaming and yelling. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me to have conversations and focus.
I'm with you 100%. Do you say anything?
I have. I've gone shh, and then I get in trouble from people. You know, my family is like, "Don't do." I'm like, I can't hear anyone. I can't sit here. This
so
is torture.
You won't tell the waitress or the waiter. You'll go straight to the source. And just
I've told waiters and waitresses. Could you mind telling those people to keep it down? I do that first.
Right.
And then I have said, please, you know, shh, you know, it's horrible.
It's so funny because I can be so confrontational on stage, but when I'm off stage, it's very hard.
That's exactly how I am. I am the exact same way.
What about with the staff or the restaurant or the waiters or waitresses, anything that they do that pet peeves you?
Well, I can't stand rude servers.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. It's like your tip depends on this. And I'm incredibly kind and I feel bad for that because I was a server and a bartender for years. So I'm very compassionate about the whole thing that people are difficult. But when they're rude or seem annoyed, I get enraged.
I am the same way. I agree.
Yeah.
And I feel like as comics, I don't let them get away with the excuse of like, oh, well, they probably had a bad day. It's like, you know how many times we've had a fucking bad day and
you're
have to go to work?
You're so right. You're so right. Try making people laugh when you've had a bad day. It's much harder than serving mayo when you're in a bad mood.
I feel like also in like the mid-2000s, something happened in the restaurant industry where it was almost cool to be a rude waiter, like mm-hmm. a shitty hipster waiter who just like couldn't be bothered.
Yeah.
Like that was a sign of like a good restaurant. Oh my God. I know, you're right. I hate
but
it.
But I don't know if it's like that in other places like it is so much in LA and New York.
Yeah, I don't think so. There's a cool factor to it that I just mm-hmm. fucking hate. And also in New York and LA, a lot of them have other things they want to do. So they're like.
Right. They're enraged that they're even there.
Right. Actually, where did you serve? When you said you were bartending and serving, where were you serving? Where did you?
At a place called Ernie's on the Upper West Side. There were a bunch of comics. We all worked there and it was a great job. I mean, I didn't make a lot of money, but I had health insurance. So that was incredible.
Oh, that's
starting
cool.
out with, yeah. And I got to work days, so it wouldn't be busy, but it was a good job.
Did you have a pet peeve as an employee of a restaurant with your customers?
Yeah, they were demanding because it was an upscale restaurant. One guy once pounded on the bar for my attention. I flipped out, like with his fists, like an animal.
This is while you were bartending?
Yeah. And it's I said, always... don't ever do that to me again, ever.
It's always I'm gonna play the devil's advocate here. Not that guy specifically, but it's always a weird thing to get a bartender's attention. It's very difficult because like you want
it is, but to pound like a animal is insane. Because it wasn't even busy. There were only like 5 people at the bar. It was during the day.
Last question: what is the first restaurant that you will go to once quarantine is over?
That's an interesting. Probably a steakhouse, like we were talking about. Probably get a big meal with, like. You know, shrimp cocktail and sautéed spinach, you know, cream spinach and just a ton of stuff. Yeah. A big meal.
You know what's funny? My last meal that I had before we got into all this quarantine mess was a big, awesome steakhouse on Long Island.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
I highly recommend it. Brian and Cooper.
It's incredible. We go every single holiday, like every event we go there.
Oh my God. So is that the one?
Yeah, in fact, Danielle's birthday was end of April, and I got it to go for her and brought it home, a huge meal from Brian and Cooper. That's exactly
nice.
Where I was just thinking I would go.
No way.
It's amazing.
It's probably my favorite steakhouse in America.
Me too.
It's my favorite.
Yep.
And they have something there which I would normally poo-poo at, which is a Cajun ribeye.
Yeah, that's what she gets.
No way.
I got that for her birthday. That's
weird.
Yep.
Yeah, because normally a steakhouse purist, I consider myself a purist. You're like, no, I just want the mm-hmm. meat with salt and pepper and that's it. Man, this Cajun ribeye.
I got a huge Cajun ribeye for her and she was in heaven.
You're a very good wife. It's the best. Yep. It's the best gift you can
get. And oysters. I got all kinds of stuff for her.
Well, I look forward to the pandemic being over so we can all get Cajun ribeyes.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah.
Jessica, thank you so much. Is there any, tell everyone how they can find you and all those things.
Well, thank you. I have a podcast called Relatively Sane, which is great. And an episode with Rosie came out today and a bunch of people coming up. And I would love to have you on it soon for sure.
Anytime. Thank you.
And I'm on Instagram. I post a lot of silly videos and just all my stuff online. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, once the pandemic's over, you have to get yourself to one of Jessica's live shows. It is cathartic how much you're going to laugh.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you, Jessica. Okay, take care.
Awesome. Bye.
Bye.
This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven. Executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan, and interstitial music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Podglomerate. A sonic universe.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.